Just Abolish the Senate is under consideration in Ireland.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The global perspective on business and economics in a moment. But first, it is day four of the partial government shutdown with no end in sight. For the hundreds of thousands of furloughed workers, it means 4 days of no income. When the money doesn't come in, it's rational to try to consume less. And so how does that play out in the wider economy? Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
We're already seeing ripple effects. Sam's Club says its sales are off. The shutdown is costing more than $150 million a day in lost wages, but it won't really start to bite until half-empty paychecks hit workers' bank accounts around October 15th. Paychecks at the end of the month will have nothing in them.
Over time, it'll become much worse. Just not knowing, right? Are you going to be able to do the things that you've done to pay all your bills?
EPA Inspector Natasha Greaves in Seattle has already delayed a home remodel, and she's holding off on travel reservations for the Christmas holidays. Rutgers Public Policy Professor Carl Van Horn points out this is better than a mass layoff where workers aren't sure they'll ever be called back.
The past history has been that workers who are furloughed eventually get paid anyway, but the more cautious ones will not be sure that that will happen again.
After shutdowns in the 1990s, federal workers got back pay, but that may not be in the playbook this time around. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
In Ireland today, the public is voting on a potentially money-saving proposal that some Americans might want to import to Washington, depending on their views of the federal shutdown here. The idea is to abolish one of the houses of the Irish Parliament. Joining us from Dublin is Austin Hughes, chief economist at KBC Bank. Mr. Hughes, good morning.
Good morning.
So we're talking about the upper house, the Senate, which in Ireland I think is set up to be quite weak, not much power compared to the other chamber?
No, it would tend to have a fairly limited power in terms of Irish legislation. So it would be seen relative to its counterparts in other countries as perhaps not having quite the teeth that similar institutions have.
But not purely ceremonial. And the idea is to save some money by shutting it down. What do you think?
Well, the amount that's entailed is very limited. We're talking about something that's possibly between 10 and 20 million a year.
20 million euros, about $27 million.
That's exactly right. And I should add that those numbers are disputed. But 10 to 20 million a year in the context of a government deficit that this year is around 12 billion, arguments about 20 million seem very, very unimportant.
We're in an era where the Irish people have endured a long period of austerity, and saving a little money may seem attractive to voters.
It probably does. I think the other element is quite important to remember that we're talking about closing the Senate rather than reforming it. That probably tells you about the difficulty in passing reforming legislation. It's either do we have a Senate that maybe isn't contributing hugely in the general opinion, or do we just shut it down?
Austin Hughes is the chief economist at KBC Bank in Dublin. Mr. Hughes, thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right, let's do the numbers. The Dow fell 136 points, 0.9% yesterday. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up at the moment, though. The FT 100 in London is up a 0.1%. Today was the day the government's closely watched unemployment and employment numbers were to come out, but among the workers who have to stay home, government statisticians, so no report, only private sector guessing. Did the economy create 180,000 jobs as forecast last month? Don't know.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Silicon Valley loves its buzzwords like burn rate, and if I hear disruptor one more time. Another favorite is meritocracy, the idea that talent, not status, is the key. Turns out the meritocracy reputation has roots in a very specific bit of Silicon Valley history. From the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk, Chrissy Clark has more.
When the word meritocracy first popped up in Silicon Valley in the 1970s, It was used in a very specific way.
Leslie Berlin is a historian for the Silicon Valley Archives at Stanford. She says back then, meritocracy was really used to describe a corporate management style.
Unlike older, more stultified companies where what you earned was directly related to your job title, this new model was going to recognize the contributions of the people who made the biggest difference in the company.
The idea was championed by microchip inventor Robert Noyce. Early in his career, he'd been frustrated at companies with top-down cultures. So when he started Intel in 1968, he tried something new. Here he is describing it in a promotional video, which explains the dated background music.
There is a new management style evolving now, looking at human worth rather than the usual autocratic organization of the company.
At Intel, and soon many tech companies, employees were offered stock options that increased in number and value the more they contributed. Bosses would sit in cubicles right next to their workers. And historian Leslie Berlin says there were also the all-important weekly
beer bashes.
Everyone, from the guys who worked on the manufacturing line to the CEO, would show up.
You know, you stand around and sip a beer and talk to people. It was great.
That's Len Yates. In the 80s, he developed software at Tandem, a company famous for its beer bashes.
People would bash around new concepts. People were much less concerned with status and just about getting the work done and watching their stock options grow in value.
Stock options and beer bashes are still very much part of Silicon Valley today, but the idea of meritocracy has morphed from a management style to a much bigger and more contested concept. I'll get to that part of the story this afternoon. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
My colleagues have put together a Marketplace e-reader. Load the app and check out things like the interview I did with Will.i.am about innovation. Marketplace.org if you're interested. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.